Good evening and welcome to this hour of Bible prophecy with us here at Green Valley Baptist Church this evening. Let me ask you to begin finding in your Bible the book of Jeremiah, and while you're turning there, I want to share something with you. In 1887, Alexander Tyler, a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh, had this to say about the fall of the Athenian Republic some 2,000 years prior. Alexander Tyler wrote in 1887, "A democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time the voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from their public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse over loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship." Family and friends, throughout ages, history has proven that the average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning has been about 200 years. And what's surprising is that during those 200 years, these nations always progressed through the following sequence: from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. Now, I've started this way this evening because I believe that God would have us keep that in our minds as we look at this passage in God's precious word from Jeremiah chapter 5. I'm going to begin in verse 20. We're going to read down through verse 31. The word of our Lord declares unto us, he says, "Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in its season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait, as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" Family and friends, what indeed will they do in the end thereof? And that's a good question many should be pondering in this day. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty Father, as we begin this message tonight, Father, may we have an open heart. But Lord, more importantly, may we have the ears with which to hear. Lord, may we hear what you are saying to us as a nation tonight, as a people in this nation. And Father, may we as people in this nation come to conclude at the conclusion of this message that the best thing we can do is to fall down and to repent before a holy, righteous God and ask you, Father, in your grace and in your mercy, to forgive us as a nation, to heal us as a nation, and to revive us as a nation. Lord, we pray these things tonight in your most gracious and wonderful name, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. What indeed will they do in the end thereof? That is a good question for us to ponder. And as we've been teaching in these Wednesday messages, the rapture of the church is imminent. It can happen at any moment. And so the question is, are you ready? If the end were to come today, would you be heaven bound? And if you're not ready, can I ask you, what is it going to take for you to get ready? Family and friends, in 1944, and I realize that many who are going to hear this were not even born at that time. Even I wasn't born at that time. And yet the words of Norman Thomas Mattoon hold great importance for us. Mattoon was a six-time presidential candidate for the Socialist Party of America. And he said in a 1944 speech, and I quote, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." I doubt that Norman Thomas Mattoon back then understood or even thought he was speaking prophetically, but his words were prophetic then, and more so they are prophetic now, because we are seeing them played out in our lifetime at this very moment. And so God, I believe, would want us to keep that in mind as well tonight. Now, I'm fully aware that it's been said that religion and politics do not mix. And I'd agree to a point, but only to a point. And here's the reason I say only to a point, because it is the political climate that always speaks the truth when it comes to whether a nation is following the Lord God Almighty or they're following something else. And the nations that have ruled have been ordained by God to do so. He says that in His Word. And so let's look at biblical history for a moment. For example, biblical history teaches us that the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrians in 722 B.C. And as a result of their turning away from the Lord their God. Why were they conquered? Because they turned away from the Lord their God. You see, the northern kingdom went from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence right back into bondage. In Judah, the southern kingdom was warned by God's prophet Hosea. Hosea said, "Don't follow the pattern of turning away from God like your sister Samaria has." And so Judah, the southern kingdom, they would not listen. And I will tell you, there's been many a nation throughout the history of the world that will not listen to God's holy word in God's holy book. Friends, this has been true of every world power there has ever been. And so now for 244 years, America has been the one nation that God has blessed. We have been the world power above every other nation. We are the world power that every other nation looks toward. And yet God has been warning America and America's leaders continually to do not turn away. Don't turn away from complacency, because you'll go to apathy. You need to turn back to me. We are living in the most apathetic time in America. What does that mean? It means that America has turned God off, and we can only pray that this pandemic has awakened the eyes of a nation, that they are now beginning to think and to look toward God again. But America has been warned time and again, and yet America has not listened, and America has not heeded God's warnings. You know, I love history, and I'm an avid reader of history. And so as I study the history of our great nation, there did come a point when America turned away from the Lord her God. There did come a point when we moved as a nation from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy. And until God put President Trump in the White House, our nation was moving rapidly toward dependence. Let me give you a little history lesson here tonight. Beginning in 2008, our nation suffered greatly due to the crash of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. More people were out of work. Many people were out of work, if you will. And unemployment was at an all-time high. Hope was lost. And then under then President Obama, 50% of American people were utterly dependent upon the government to meet their needs. Friends, no nation can survive when more folks don't work than do work. Eventually, that nation is going to implode from within and fall into bondage. And so until under President Obama, America had refused to bless Israel, and as a result, we were cursed as a nation in the eyes of God. You see, people forget that because Israel is God's chosen nation, and Israel is God's chosen people, they are both a land and a people, as we talked about last week, that God's promise to Abraham is still in effect. You see, God said to Abraham in what is known as the Abrahamic covenant back in Genesis 12, these words. This is what God said, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, since 2016, up until this pandemic, America has been a blessed nation because God gave us a president who has a love for the Jewish nation and the Jewish people. His foreign policies have benefited Israel greatly. And up until this current pandemic, America was a nation that was flourishing with hope. And despite all the division on which side you take, America's blessing of Israel resulted in an increase in jobs and financial blessings to America. Many religious freedoms enjoyed by Americans taken away during the Obama administration have been restored. And yet, the division created in America since the 2016 election has been the result of liberalism, just what Norman Thomas Methuen in 1944 said would happen. And so, friends, when you look at history, and when you add all that I've shared up, it results in a nation imploding from within and being conquered by another. And again, the Bible is our source. You see, Judah would not heed the warnings of God's prophets. God had warned the southern kingdom Judah, do not be like the northern kingdom Samaria. Do not go after false idols. Do not go after the things of this world. And they would not listen. And so in 586 BC, God allowed the southern kingdom to be conquered by the Babylonians. The nation God had called forth from Egypt, the nation that God had brought out of Egypt with a great deliverance, was now completely back in bondage. Samaria, the northern kingdom, was in bondage to the Assyrians. Judah, the southern kingdom, was now in bondage in Babylon. Family and friends, if you take the time to study the Bible and history, you will discover that the United States of America compares favorably to Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel. And so tonight, I want to draw our attention to these comparisons, the comparisons of Judah and the United States. We need to understand, first and foremost, that both were looked upon with great favor by Almighty God. Both receive some of history's greatest blessings. As a result, God made both kingdoms great. Judah dominated the world of her time during the reigns of both David and King Solomon. And America has been the dominant nation of the world for over 244 years now. For over 244 years, the nations of the world always looked to America because they knew and they recognized that God had blessed America abundantly. And when people looked to go somewhere, they came to America. America was a land of hope. It was a land of dreams. Why did they come? Because they would be free from the bondage that oppressed them in the other nations of the world. So for over 244 years, America, like Judah, during the reigns of David and Solomon, has stood as the hope of all of the world. But like Judah, America has had within it a seed of corruption for many years now. And I'd like to trace that for you tonight, that seed of corruption and how it is growing. It began in 1962 when prayer was taken out of schools. It only took one woman to get prayer out of school. In 1962, that one woman planted a seed of corruption that has been festering ever since. You see, because one year later, in 1963, the Bible was removed from our public schools. And that year, our tax dollars began paying for the brainwashing of our children. The truth of God's creation story was replaced by the deceit of evolution as our children's curriculum. And in 1961, the Sunday laws, known as the Blue Laws, designed to enforce religious standards, began to be repealed. Laws that both protected and kept our nation's focus upon the Lord God of heaven, they began to gradually disintegrate. Sunday then became just another day. And the birth of materialism took root in the hearts of many. Soon schools that had always protected the Wednesday evening prayer services, they now began filling their calendars with band and choral concerts and sports activities. And Wednesday, a midweek day set aside for the Lord our God, became just another day. Then in 1980, the Supreme Court declared that the posting of the Ten Commandments in a school classroom violated the Constitution of the United States. And so you see, from 1961 until 1980, there is a period, an effect, if you will, where each step was a designed move that took our nation from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy. Family and friends, history proves one thing that is absolutely certain, and it's the fact that man does not learn from history. So, when Judah began to step away from God, it was not long before she became like the pagan nations around her. And though, like Judah, America's founding fathers founded this great nation on the tenets of the Holy Bible, America has a history now of stepping away from God, culminating with the Supreme Court declaring that marriage was no longer between just a man and a woman. Could America have thumbed her nose any more at God, saying, "We will not live under the rule of the Lord our God"? Is it any wonder that we as a nation have quickly fallen from spiritual faith as a nation in the Lord our God? Have you ever been in a nation where we are no longer monotheistic, but we have become polytheistic? Today, our nation faces several steps away from God. Our nation embraces abortion. And America's Supreme Court gave license to what God calls an abomination. In doing so, they turned the truth of God into a lie. So America today is guilty of worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And like Judah, instead of embracing the Lord our God, we have chosen to be like the godless nations of the world around us. This is why the book of Jeremiah in the passage that we read holds such great importance for us today. You see, America, like Judah at the time of Jeremiah's prophecy, is a nation standing on the brink. It was into this world that Jeremiah came as a prophet chosen by God even before he was born to be so. Jeremiah was a priest born in Anatoth, a place just north of the city of Jerusalem, and he was a man whom God chose before birth who would begin his prophetic ministry under the reign of King Josiah. He was a man forbidden to marry because of the terrible times in which he lived. And here is a man whose ministry never bore one single convert. Instead, he was rejected by his people. He was hated. He was beaten. He was put in stocks. He was imprisoned and charged with being a traitor. Can you imagine being called by God and given a message to speak that you knew not a single soul would listen to? Instead, when you spoke the truth, they would hate you. When you spoke good, they would say the good you were speaking was evil. When you spoke about evil, they would call that evil good. They would hate you, they would reject you, and they would beat you. Just imagine how tough it would be when no one else shares your passion for God. Many of us have never had to cross the bridge Jeremiah did. And yet here we are in America in 2020, standing on the brink of I don't know what. Will this current pandemic lead to the downfall of our nation? I don't know. Will it lead to the beginning of a great revival? I certainly hope so. Can I ask you this evening, how great is your passion for God? Do you love Him with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength? Do the actions of your life prove that you love God in this way? Or are you just quick to give the church answer amen? Are we ready to serve God, even if it means we'll be persecuted for it? Listen to me, we are living in a nation that calls evil good and good evil. We are living in a time very much like the time in which Jeremiah was called, and what is needed today is for men and women of God to stand up and to proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." It is time to begin to vote for those who embrace biblical values. And so this was Jeremiah's call, and it is our call as well, and there is no getting around that fact. Jesus said, "The world will hate you because of me. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." We certainly are living in some dangerous times, and the times are becoming more dangerous for a Christian the world over. The political landscape of our day is constantly changing, and we, like Jeremiah, must speak the truth of God's Word, calling men, women, and children to repentance. Family and friends, I hope you know evil only triumphs when good men do nothing. And for too long, good people have done nothing. And it is time for good people to stand up and say, "Enough! Enough! Thus saith the Lord." And we need to live by His Word. That's why we must proclaim the message of the Lord. That's why we must afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. Lord Macaulay wrote this, and he had this to say concerning Jeremiah. It's difficult to conceive any situation more painful than that of a great man condemned to watch the lingering agony of an exhausted country, to tend it during the alternate fits of stupefaction and raving which precede its dissolution, and to see the symptoms of vitality disappear one by one till nothing is left but coldness, darkness, and corruption. He could well have said the same thing of America today any time you watch the so-called news. On those news channels is stupefaction and incessant raving, and nothing gets accomplished. Therefore, we have in many ways become an exhausted nation because of our many national sins, the biggest of which is turning our back on God. And despite the repeated attempts of God to get our attention as a nation, unless we seek God's word and live by God's truth, the next election could result under the guise of liberalism, America becoming a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. And if it happens, we as a nation will quickly move from dependence to bondage unless we repent and turn back to God, we may witness the dissolution of America as we have known her. Everywhere we look today, so-called experts are on that television or on the radio telling us what we need to do to improve our society and how we can eliminate our problems. And I find it very interesting, though, because none of those experts are speaking about turning back to God. We need God in America again. When God is left out of the picture, we become like a city that is broken down and without walls. And you need to understand the context of that. A city in ancient times had walls around it for protection. And we've got a crisis on our border because we don't have walls around it for protection. And so that's because God has been left out of the picture. And what we need to understand about Jeremiah is this: he was a man sent by God to speak to a nation that had become gospel hardened. God was looking for a man to go and confront his people in love with the truth of God's word. And they would not have it. And the call from many a godly preacher has been going out for a number of years now, calling people to repentance, calling people to come out of the world, calling people to get their heart right with the Lord, and the people will not have it. What God wanted the nation he blessed so abundantly to know is the same thing he wants us in 2020 to know, is that harsh times would come and will come unless they stop rejecting him. Jeremiah's message to the southern kingdom of Judah was the most unwelcome message ever delivered, and it was totally rejected. And what God wants us to learn from this is that history always repeats itself because they rejected the light, love, and truth of God that Jeremiah was sharing with them. The southern kingdom of Judah was conquered by the Babylonians in 586 BC, and they spent the next 70 years in exile. And God wants us to learn from this history lesson tonight, that history always repeats itself, because one thing is certain, men do not learn from history. And therefore, what do you think will happen here in America if she does not repent? You see, we must understand the world in which we live. Nations all around the world today are standing on the brink, but perhaps none more so than these United States of America. Which way will we fall? We're on the brink. We're on a teeter-totter. Which way will we fall? And I pray it's on our knees in holy repentance before a holy God. And I pray as a nation we turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ today, because the promise of God written so long ago in His Word is still as true today as when it was penned, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Hallelujah. Amen. Family and friends, we don't know which way America will go, but we can certainly know which way we will go. What has God said to you in this message this evening? If the Lord should tarry a bit longer, what kind of nation do you want to live in? Do you want to live in the freedom of democracy or under the bondage of a dictatorship? That's what socialism and liberalism will bring. These are the choices that we face today as a nation. Which way will you choose? You know, this pandemic has given us all a taste of what it would be like to live in a socialist nation. But you know, there's a far greater choice than your vote for a nation. And that's your vote for or against Jesus. Have you accepted? Have you repented of your sins and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, you're not guaranteed another day. The Bible puts it this way: there's but a step between us and death. And we don't think about this often, but we are standing on the brink in our own personal lives, because we do not know how long we have here upon this earth. We don't know whether we'll draw our next breath, whether we'll take our next step, whether we'll live to see tomorrow, next week, or next year. What we do know is that by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, He is giving us an opportunity. If you have not yet repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is another opportunity to make that commitment to Him, so that when you step off into eternity, you will be stepping up to heaven with Him and not down to that other place with that other fella. See, when the rapture comes, and it is coming, will you be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Will you be gone, or will you be left behind? Let us pray. Father, we just thank You for Your Word to us tonight. Oh Lord, there is much here. And I pray, Lord, that people would listen tonight with a heart of understanding and an ear that would allow it to go all the way down to heart. And Lord, I pray for Your Holy Spirit to bring enlightenment, to bring understanding, that Your grace and Your peace and Your truth would be told, and that people would respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in their heart tonight. And Lord, for that soul that has not yet repented but has heard this message, Lord, there's only one God. There are not many gods. There's only one road. There are not many roads. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I pray that individual would understand if he doesn't come the way Jesus has said we're to come, there is no hope of ever having an eternity of joy, peace, light, and understanding. There's only an eternity that will be full of utter darkness, fear, turmoil, agony. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would drive that point home in the heart that needs you so badly today. Lord, I pray for the Christian brother or sister who's been just kind of going through the motions. They've just been doing church, but they haven't been the church. They've been claiming your name, but Lord, they don't look anything like you. And Lord, we pray that tonight that this message would drive home the point that the Christian life isn't a playground. It's a battleground. We need to be certain that we're standing on the right side, the side with Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for people to ask themselves this question, which kingdom do they fit better in? The kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God? And I pray, Lord, tonight that they would seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all the other things they hope for in life. You said and promised in your word that they will be added unto us. And Lord, I pray for everybody not to waste this pandemic and this hour that we have here, Father, but that they would think about the deep things of life. And that perhaps, Lord, if they've been involved in other things that have taken them away on Sunday and their devotion has been divided, that Father, they would learn that they need to get their heart right with you, and there can be no divided loyalty with God. We are either loyal to God or we're not loyal at all. And Lord, I pray they'd want to be loyal to you. Oh Lord, the hour is hastening on. It's getting ever closer. One day soon, we're going to hear the trump sound. We're going to hear the shout. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be gone. And I pray, Lord, that many will be gone with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.